keep learning to sing, you'll learn to sing, won't you? Amen. Turn your Bible this morning to Luke chapter 1. The Gospel of Luke chapter 1. Looking down at verse number 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Boy, that's a great scripture, isn't it? A great promise that God has made concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. May we bow our hearts before the Lord this morning. Loving God, thank you for the word of God that tells us of your plan, that tells us of your love, that tells us of your salvation, that tells us that it's all possible because of Christ, who came into the world to take our place, pay our debt, that whosoever would believe in him would have everlasting life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Believing, and we become righteous men and women when we take God at his word concerning his son who died in our place. Lord, we're so helpless as we stand before this people. We ask you to sustain us. Make us a blessing. Help us to encourage and challenge, inform, and instruct in righteousness. This we always pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday, if you recall, our sermon was about the second coming of Christ. How he's coming to set up his kingdom. He's coming to take over the kingdoms of the world. And today we're going to continue from that point when he begins to rule and reign there in Jerusalem. And I thought it was very significant this very week that our president was bold enough to say that Jerusalem is the capital of Jerusalem. I mean of Israel, and that back in the 90s, our Congress had voted on all this, and the presidents that's been since then has not followed up on it. But we get a man in the White House that's not a politician, and boy, he's willing to do what's right. Amen? Thank God we got a president that's trying to do what's right, I believe. He's not perfect. But he's trying to be a blessing to the country, I believe. And so he not only said Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, but we also going to put our embassy there. That's what throwed the fat and the far, weren't it? Some folks don't like that. Well, you just can't please everybody, so just well go ahead and do what's right. Amen. Just do what's right. And God take care of the details. Did y'all know that? You just do what's right, God will take care of the details. And we already know that Israel's going to have a hard time from now on. It's going to really get rough. 2/3 of them is going to be killed. Bible tells it. It's in there. I believe it. I hate it, but it's in there. It's because of their own stubborn. But you know what? The Gentiles are stubborn people too. They're stubborn, rebellious. Boy, breaks the heart of God, and it disturbs me as one of his ministers. So, at the end of Christ, when he comes at his second coming, we were winding up Sunday talking about how that when he gets here, he's going to destroy all the armies of the world. Then he's going to get all the nations of the world before him and divide them. And he's also going to take the Antichrist and the false prophet that has deceived so many people during the tribulation time, causing them to take his mark or else. And many did because of or else. Were they going to be taken alive and thrown into the lake of fire? They're not going to get to die. They're going to be thrown alive into the lake of fire. They are such mean, wicked people that God don't have to bring them before the white throne, Brother Chavis. They're just so low down, wicked, that they're just going to get the full impact of it. And they're going to be thrown alive into there. Then he's going to do something else. You know what he's going to do? The Bible says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan." In other words, he made it clear who it was. I like that. "And bound him 1,000 years. Instead of being thrown into the lake of fire now, he's going to be bound 1,000 years. Why? God's not done with him. God's going to use him to test people. Where's your allegiance at? Did God use Satan to test you? Are you going to keep living for the devil, or are you going to live for Jesus? And he's going to be used in at the end of the 1,000 year. He's going to be let out for a little while. And many people's going to join up with him, sad to say. After having seen Jesus, been around Jesus, still the stubborn, rebellion, deceived heart of man is going to follow the devil. You know what Jeremiah said about man's heart? It's deceitful and desperately wicked. That's what happened because of Adam's sin when man became a sinner. Our heart is in bad shape, folks. And you need a new heart. And we get a new heart when we honestly repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, the next thing that's going to take place is the curse is going to be lifted. Now, there's a curse over this world today, the curse of sin. That's the reason all those fires out in California, eh? That's the reason we got people sick today. That's the reason there's a lot of problems in the world today. That's the reason only a few people in church. Curse of sin is in the world. That's going to be lifted. You know, when you try to do something right or good, always there's obstacles or hindrances. Wouldn't it be nice to live during that 1,000 year when I wouldn't have to stoop down and pick up a nail 3 times? Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Me and Faye's got to pick them up, so we know how to reach down 2 or 3 times before we ever get hold of it. Amen? We keep dropping it on the way up. There won't be that problem in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. The curse is going to be lifted. The Bible says in Romans 8:22, For we know that the whole creation groans and travaileth in pain together unto now. Creation is groaning because of sin. It affects everything in the world, sin does. It affected the whole universe. That's the power that sin has done. Storms, fires, earthquakes, volcanoes, plagues, terrorists will be no more when Christ sets up his 1,000-year reign there in Jerusalem. A golden age is coming. Like people write fairy tales about, like a Cinderella story, you know. Everything works out okay. Hey, during that 1,000 years, it's going to be a golden age, like there's never been an age like that before. An age of peace. Most people today, we're living with the threat of nuclear war hovering over us right now. Because we got several countries that hate us that's got the power to do a lot of damage. But in that 1,000-year reign of Christ, there won't be any enemies. There won't be any threats. It's going to be a 1,000 years of peace. Peace. What a change is coming in this sin-sick world when Christ takes over to be the world leader. There won't be any white wreaths hanging on the front doors very often. I came by the funeral home, I believe it was yesterday. It was packed with cars. Somebody's got grief and loss. And the beauty of nature is going to change. Now, I've seen some beautiful sights in this old sin-sick world. They are. Even God can make the ditch bank side the highway look pretty with wildflowers, amen? The Bible says in Isaiah 35, you might want to read Isaiah 35 sometime, and Isaiah chapter 11, because they're mainly talking about this golden age of Jesus Christ. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing, the Bible says. Think about that. Nature is going to be relieved of all its affliction when Christ sets up his kingdom, folks. I want you to visualize this with me this morning. All the beauty of nature that can burst forth without reservation is going to be a sight to behold. And it won't be for just a little while. It's going to last for 1,000 years like that. And there's going to be hope for the afflicted. The Bible says in Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6, then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstoppable. Boy, I could use some of that right now. I got hearing aids, but you still can't hear like I used to could hear. But in the 1,000-year reign of Christ, that problem going to be resolved for people that's living then. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart. Brother Searle, If you was living then, you wouldn't have no problem with that leg, son. I saw you humping down the aisle a while ago. And the tongue of the dumb shall sing. There's a change coming. The Lord's going to bring a change to this old world, folks. The Lord's going to come and show you how it's done. Amen? He's going to show us how it's done. Sickness will be a rare thing in that 7,000, in that 1,000-year reign. It'll be an odd thing to be sick then. Death will also be rare with a child living to be 100 years old, the Bible says. Some people may live throughout the entire 1,000 years without even dying. That means they'd live longer than Methuselah. Think about what all you can see in 1,000 years. I remember when I was a little boy riding on the mule and wagon. And now through the years I've come up and I've seen so many changes. The wagon disappeared. Vehicles appeared. Now it's not vehicles, it's limousines. And airplanes and all this that's going on, that's happened. We had no electricity. We had no refrigerator. We had no washing machine. We didn't have anything. And then the business world said, get this and get that, and life's going to be easier. That's the biggest lie ever told. We work harder now trying to keep everything repaired and trying to service everything than we did before we ever got a lot of these appliances we got today. Sickness and disease will, and all afflictions are the result of man's sin. That's the reason we have these problems. That's going to be mainly done away with when Christ comes. These will be lifted in the kingdom. In Isaiah 35, look down in verse 6, the desert is going to bloom, the Bible says. It's become fertile again. The deserts. You know, there's a few little deserts in and around Robeson County. And you go through them, and boy, the dirt, you know, I mean, it's nothing. Only a scrub is out there in them. The Bible says, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Today, I'm told that about a third of the surface of the earth is desert. A third of it. And we already know that two-thirds of the earth's surface is water. Don't leave much space for a living, does it? Well, when God makes that new earth, it's not going to have those limitations on it. Going to be no oceans. There won't be any deserts. It's going to be a beautiful place when that new earth is made. So one third of the earth today is desert. That means that it gets less than 10 inches of water all year long. In Isaiah 35 in verse 8, it says, and an highway shall be there. A highway. And a way, and it shall be called. It won't be the Oxendine Highway, nor the Lowry Highway, nor the Locklear Highway. It's going to be the highway of holiness. That's going to be the name of the highway. The highway of holiness. There won't be any littering. I came out here yesterday evening late to cut the heat on. And I got to the driveway and I looked over there close to the cedar tree. Somebody took a white trash bag and put two, looked like the plates they use to put their barbecue in at Johnny's event the other day. And they put those two plates in there and tied the bag up and throwed it in our yard. There weren't no barbecue in it, though. People, and I'm all the time picking up beer cans throwed in the church yard. There won't be any of that on the highway of holiness, folks. That won't be going on during that 1,000-year reign of Christ. People are so insensitive, and they don't mind littering anywhere, even in the churchyard. It will be a safe highway, and there will be no bumps or potholes in it. Amen? The unclean, listen to what he says about this highway. The unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. In other words, the wicked will not get to go down that highway. Only people going to travel on this highway, the word says, is holy people, God's people. The fools, the wicked, won't be allowed on that highway. There will be no dangerous people traveling it. We're all the time hearing about road rage. Somebody's stopping and jumping out at somebody and they're fighting out there in the street or shooting one another. Road rage. Won't be any of that. There will be no one walking or trying to bum a ride. The highway is for God-fearing, Jesus-loving people. Boy, there's going to be a change in this world one day. I hope y'all, when you're riding around, I hope you keep your doors locked on your vehicles. We're living in some dangerous time, folks. And them people are slicker than a greased eel in a barrel of grease. Better be on the wire. When you walk into stores, you better keep looking around you because they're pondering how I can take advantage of you. And especially the elderly. It's sad the days we're living in, but it's going to be a change. It's going to be a change. In Isaiah 35 and verse 8, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. And on that highway won't be any wild animals to attack those that's walking. It shall not be, they shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. It's going to be safe to walk. How often do we hear people out trying to walk for their exercise and they're attacked and women are raped and killed? It's going to be safe when Jesus sets up that millennium. There's not going to be any danger for people to walk on this highway. In that day, all the wild animals will be gentle and tame. Me and Faye happened to see a lion greet its former owner and trainer. Somehow they'd been separated. And when that lion, it was a female lion, saw her former trainer and owner, She went running to him and just jumped on him, embracing him and just loving him. It looked like it was just unreal, the love that lion was showing to this man. And they just rolled on the ground together, loving one another. Folks, it's going to really be like that during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Christ is going to really change the way things operate in this world. The Bible says the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. You know how dangerous a wolf is. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid. A leopard. Another savage beast. Will lay down with a little goat. When I was in college over at Pembroke, my professor, I had a speech professor, and he said, you people out here calling your children kids, he said, goats have kids. He didn't like people to call their children kids. That's one thing I learned from him. And the calf and the young lion shall be fatling together, and little child shall lead them. Think about a little child like those over there leading these wild animals. And not a bit of danger. The parents won't be in hysteria over their child with that animal because they're going to be tame. Folks, ain't it good to be saved? Any good to know that there's a God in control? The Bible says, and the cow and the bear shall feed, and the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Can you imagine an old mean-looking lion or tiger eating straw instead of another animal's flesh? That day's coming. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. The asp is really a cobra. We know how dangerous a cobra is. Hey, it says a child, a little suckling child, will not even be hurt by the cobra. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. The cockatrice den is a den of deadly snakes. This little child that's weaned can play with snakes in their den, deadly rattlesnakes, and won't even bother them. Boy, there's a change coming, isn't it? They shall not hurt nor destroy at all my holy mountain, the Lord says. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's Isaiah 11, 6 through 9 I just read there. Yes, animals, their very nature, they're going to become so gentle and playful. The whole world, even the animals, would know about the Lord Jesus during his reign. There will not be places where missionaries will need to be sent. Think about that. Because the knowledge of the Lord's going to be everywhere. You know, today in our country it's known everywhere, we seem to think. But look at the people that don't have any time for the Lord. That's what disturbs me so much. These people up in Washington, I mean, they're so political and I tell you what, I'm just sick of myself. But you know, somebody press them and they'll quote some verse of scripture. You ever notice that? They know some scripture, but they sure don't live like it. They don't live like it. You know what? That even that word condemns them. The knowledge of the Lord will be real. Isaiah 35:10, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, And listen to this. And sorrow and sighing shall flee away. People's just going to be singing, praising the Lord, enjoying the Lord. Life's going to be so good. And then he says, they're not even going to have any sorrows, any burdens. It ain't like that today. I don't hear nobody singing. I bet every one of you, if I asked you, could tell me some problems you got. You got some problems. The people are going to be so happy during that thousand-year reign and filled with excitement as they go to Zion, which is another name for Jerusalem. People will be so happy to go to Jerusalem. You know, today people ought to be happy to get to go to church. God has so arranged you can go learn about me, the one that loves you so much. Hey, let me ask you something this morning. Were you happy coming to church today? Amen. Were you looking forward to coming today? Oh, I wish you weren't Sunday. I'm just so tired. We're to be excited. We're coming to meet with one that loves us more than our mama did. There will be singing and songs, and no one will have any sorrow or burdens. What a time to be living. And isn't it amazing, a lot of those people in that kingdom is going to get deceived by the devil at the end of it, living under those kind of conditions. It just shows you the evil of the human heart. Can you imagine living during the 1,000-year reign when Christ is reigning? Think about seeing him. Would you like to see the Lord, folks? Really? Hearing him? How'd you like to hear him preach? Did you know when he preached when he was here, everybody didn't get saved, Brother Chavis? You know, that helps me. That really helps me. People didn't listen to the Lord either when he was here. Amen? Seeing him, hearing him, being blessed by him. That's the Lord. The Bible tells us this is going to happen one day. You know what? We could actually be 7 years from it. We could actually be that close to it. There will be no more war. And today we live with the dread of nuclear war. There will be peace on earth for 1,000 years. No army. No Navy, no Marines, no Air Force, no National Guard. They won't be needed. There's a change coming to this old sin-sick world. And I'm so glad God gave us this book to let us know about it. Folks, there's nothing more valuable in this world than this book here. There's not. Because the knowledge of this book can give you so much peace and joy and hope. Because I believe it myself. And I've been reading this week about an atheist that's just a bunch of old men wrote that stuff. But you know, they got to study it and they got saved. Norman Glaser, for example. Oh, he's very educated in the Bible now. Oh, he's getting on up in age now. But he used to be an atheist. A lot of those Bible teachers that are prominent now were once atheists. But they got to reading this book, and they come to find out this book really is true. Amen? Yeah. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And God made it that simple, that by faith you can be saved and have a hope and eternal life that will last forever. As we study our Bible and look at the nations of the world, we believe we have that the second coming of Jesus is not very far away. First, the rapture. That could happen at any second. Then, 7 years of tribulation. Oh, what an awful time. You don't want to be in that age. You don't want to be left behind for that. What's waiting there? And then after that 7 years, the second coming of Jesus, when he comes, sets up his kingdom that I've been talking with you a little bit today about. His kingdom will be 1,000 years, and then it'll merge right into eternity forever. Wow. Wow. And we were wise enough to repent of our sin and trust Jesus as our Savior, because when his kingdom is set up, the Bible says we are going to rule with him. We, the church. Because when he comes back at the second coming, we're going to be coming with him. We're his bride. We'll always be with him. There will be no more businesses taking advantage of people. There will be no more false religions deceiving people. There will be no more injustice in the courts and with the law enforcements. There will be no more crooked judges and lawyers in the courts. There will be no more liquor stores selling their poison. There will be no more drugs and gangsters. There will be no more gambling casinos and dance halls. There will be no more abortion clinics. This is some of the changes that's going to take place when King Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom. In Isaiah 11:5, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reign. Jesus Christ is going to reign in righteousness. He's going to always do what's right. He never will compromise on anything. He'll always do what's right. God always does what's right. We don't understand it sometimes, but he's always doing what's right. In Isaiah 32:1, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princesses shall rule in judgment. He's going to reign in righteousness. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, which we should enjoy today. That's what we should enjoy today. Let me read it again. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Every nation and decision of King Jesus, every action and decision of King Jesus during his administration will be a righteous decision and act. He won't be taking anything under the table to get someone else a favor. He's going to always do what's right. He can't be bribed, in other words. In Zechariah, we're told what will happen to those who fail to go and worship the King Jesus. The Bible says if you don't go to during that 1,000 years to worship Jesus at Jerusalem, you're not going to get any rain. Did you know that's in the Bible? You won't get any rain if you don't go. Rain's important, isn't it? We got over 3.5 inches the other day. Yesterday, whatever it was. That was good because it was dry. The Bible says in Zechariah 14:16-17, it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which come against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. If they don't come and really worship, we're not talking about them just coming. You got to come to worship. Let me ask you, have you come to worship the Lord today? Do we come to worship the Lord? Can we praise the Lord in our hearts today? Or can we just sit here with a... I was looking at Bill Monroe and Dr. Jeremiah this morning. And they would give camera shots. And the people sitting out there looking, I don't know whether they were worshiping or not. They had the blankest looks. Folks, it's not that we just come and attend. Are we praising God? He saved me. He saved me. I'm here to thank Him. I'm here to rejoice in Him. I'm here to love Him. I'm here. I need Him. There ain't going to be no put on worship then. He's going to be number one then. If you don't go worship Him, you ain't getting no rain. By the way, He's the one that sends it. Amen. Let me wind up or conclude my thoughts with this. Christ sitting on the throne. Can you just see Him sitting on the throne? The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. The glorious Son of God sitting on that throne. He's going to sit on it. In Jerusalem. That's going to rub it in, ain't it, brother? Christ is going to rule the entire world. Not just Israel. He's going to rule the whole works. Amen? He will not be answering to anyone at any time. You can't call His hand. He will not have an advisory cabinet to advise Him either. He's not going to allow anyone to get by with any crime. Anyone commits a crime, there's someone there He sent to deal with them on the spot. If they're breaking in your house, He'll catch them while the key's still in the door. Amen? That's faster than Johnny's squad. Amen, Johnny? Praise the Lord. 1,000 years reign, but Christ will be like heaven on earth. The nation of Israel will be the head of all the nations. Israel is going to be the head of all the nations. They can't stand them now. But she's the one elected by God to be the head of all of them. God often does that. He takes the least. The nations of the world will come to Jerusalem not to sightsee, but to worship the Lord. And our worship will not be an entertainment-oriented worship service there. when we go, when the people go to worship during that thousand-year reign, they'll go there to really worship the one who is the Lord. They'll go there to really praise him for who he is, what he's done. Folks, we need to maybe readjust our thoughts today. He is the Lord of glory. He's not our king. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He has bought us. And he has the best plan in the world for us if we'll just submit to him. Love him. You know him today? Serve him with all your heart. If you hadn't asked him to be your Savior, today's the day. Please don't miss heaven. Please don't miss out on this free gift. Please don't miss out and regret it forever. That's all I can do. That's all I can say. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Lord, speak to hearts. Deal with hearts. Thank you for this time you give us today. Thank you for letting me preach one more time or try to, Lord. Give people a vision of what you've got planned for us. May we be excited. May we be living in anticipation. May our focus be on thee and not this world. Forgive us, O God, where we fail you, and cleanse us. Now, Lord, our sister has come to, and prepared a meal for this body of believers today. We ask you to bless her and her efforts. Bless the food that's been prepared. And bless our lives and bodies to your loving service. And we'll thank you and love you. In Jesus' name, oh God, I pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. Maybe you want to come to the altar this morning, spend some time. Maybe you want to come and trust Christ today as Savior. Maybe you want to come pray for somebody that needs salvation.